Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Father, for what you've already accomplished here today. Thank you for your Holy Spirit moving already today. And Lord, I just pray today, Lord, that you give me utterance today, exactly what you want to say through your word and through your spirit today. And thank you for the impact of the Holy Spirit in each and every one today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Glory to God. So, first of all, I would like to thank Dr. Jerry Savelle for believing in us and for sending us and for us to be able to be connected with him for many years. But we became the directors in 2006. And so, you know, it wasn't our plan, you know, to win people to Christ at all. So if you think, you know, that's not my plan, that's not what I'm doing, that's not what I do, God is going to change that in you today. Because he did in me. You know, he just told me to buy a motorcycle, and that was all I did. I said, praise the Lord, man, God is telling me to buy a motorcycle. And so, you know, you have to check with your wife on that those kind of things. And so I said, Ginger, God's telling me to buy a motorcycle. She said, well, obey God. That's a good woman there, man. And she did. And again, she didn't want to ride, and I finally talked her into riding one day, and we went. We live in North Carolina in the USA, and we rode some nice little roads and along the riverbanks and come back. And she said, I said, what do you think? She said, I want my own. And so, you know, she got her own. And Dr. Savelle, he said she can outride any of us now, but she still rides like a girl. Praise the Lord. Amen. But I want to thank him for believing us and sending us. And little did we know, again, little did we know that what was going to happen, but what we needed in our life. God always knows what we need in our life. And it was that fellowship and that relationship, that camaraderie amongst believers, you know. And we went to church. We worked at two businesses. We worked 90 hours a week. And we loved God. You know, we were some of the first ones to get to church and the last ones to leave. That was just us, you know. We served in our church. But when God had called us out, you know, it was just get back to having that good time, that fun again. But I said, make your fun righteousness. You know, whatever you do, do it right and do it righteous. Do it for God. And people started coming to us, you know, on the motorcycles. And that one person back years ago that first led to the Lord outside of the four walls of the church changed my life. And that one person is the reason we're here today, is because the Holy Spirit filled our vehicle that day on the way home. And we said, just crying, and said, wouldn't it be awesome just to share the love of God with people all around the world if people didn't know him. And he's made that happen now, you know. And we've been in many places in the world. We hadn't been all around the world yet, but so we're not done. Praise the Lord. But anyway, I want to thank Dr. Savelle. I want to thank my lovely wife, Ginger, and for believing. And hallelujah. You're a great woman. So hallelujah. And I want to thank you guys and the church here and the family that you have here. You're just tremendous, the things that God has done through you and through your family, the love that you have for one another. It's just amazing. It's just the way the church should be, the way family should be, and you're a great example of that, and I see that very much. And the greater things are coming your way too. And the Lord told me this morning that we weren't leaving, that we were just going, but we were leaving an impartation that would never leave, that it will just continue to grow and it will get greater and greater. And so I received that prophecy that you had over us this morning, but I also want to let you know that I'm going to start this morning because the kings and the queens are here. Amen. You know, he's the King of Kings, and, you know, he's the King of Queens. Amen. And so you are those people. And the Holy Spirit was putting things onto me about, you know, prophecy always has to be pursued. It's just not going to happen. It's just not going to just come to pass just because somebody says something. God is saying something through people all the time. God is moving all the time. But our job is to receive that prophecy, and his word is prophecy, but and then to weigh the prophecy that he speaks through others. But it's not to wait on prophecy. Your job is to pursue that prophecy with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your strength. You know, and I've heard several people say this, because a lot of times when prophecy comes forth, a lot of times, you know, the element of pride will try to come up, you know, in the person sometimes who's given the prophecy, and then the person who's receiving the prophecy, they'll receive that pride because I'm somebody special. But the word of prophecy always comes forth for one purpose, and that's to edify the Lord Jesus Christ, and it comes forth for the harvest. Everything we do in the church should be geared toward the harvest and bringing people to Christ. That's why we're still on the earth. I mean, right now there is over 8 billion people on the earth. 8 billion people on the earth plus right now. And right now, Christianity is about 2.4 billion people, Christianity. But only 25 million of people who call themselves Christians share the gospel with the world. Only 25 million. And God wants to change that. You think about over 8 billion people. And you know, I heard that this was the land of the southern land of the Holy Spirit. Is that right? Is that right? Is that right? Is that been spoken through somebody like Smith Wigglesworth? Huh? And different prophets and stuff have come through. And that was spoken. That was spoken. But I'm going to give you a new concept and a new mindset on that today. Don't be waiting for this any longer. It's been here ever since Jesus came here. It's been here ever since the Holy Spirit came here to live and abide on the inside of you. So the land of the Holy Spirit, in the natural, the land is the land. But in the supernatural, in the way we should be thinking, it's man. It's man. It's supernatural man. Because God loves man, and he loves one man, and he come to live and abide in every one of us. And when he did, so the only way that this land will ever become the south land of the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit is infused and infilled in each one of us to go into the land, because you are the man and you are the woman that the Holy Spirit is going to use to do this land for the kingdom of heaven. And it's in this land, it's in every land, and it's the only way we're going to change what the circumstances are out there. So, you know, you have to commit everything and all things if you want all things for God and from God. And I see a family here that's done that. That's done that. You know, I was sharing the word consecration the other day. The Lord's been dealing with me on more consecration. A guy told me it wasn't in the New Testament. I said, yeah, it is. Just look, just got to see what, you know. Well, you know what consecration is? It's giving yourself wholly and all to God in every aspect of your life. And when you do that, you don't, you know, sometimes we're just wanting to be the greatest preacher. We don't need to be the greatest preacher. Jesus was the greatest preacher. He said John the Baptist was the greatest preacher because he preached about the kingdom and Jesus coming. We just need to get the Holy Ghost coming in us, on us, and out of us so that we can become the greatest reacher. Because the Holy Ghost has been sent to live on the inside of us for to reach the hand of God. The hand of God is the Holy Ghost who abides in us and on us so that we can reach out to the world with his hand, because he's an invisible God, but he became visible through us every day of our life. So every day, you know what, you know, and I was reading this morning, and I said, the Lord, you know, it was about what Jesus did. And so if we're going to do the same works that he did, we need to know what he did and go about doing it, how he did it, and then what he instructed us to do. So there was three major components and aspects of what Jesus did. He was a teacher, he was a preacher, and he was a reacher. Yeah. And he would lay hands on the sick for them to be healed. And he was a healer. So, you know, he was a teacher. He taught them. He taught them about the kingdom. He was a preacher. He told them about the kingdom. And then he became that reacher wherever he went. He gave them evidence of what the Holy Spirit was doing, because the Holy Spirit came upon him. See, he became the example. He came the example. He became a man. But he did it just like we're supposed to do it. When the Holy Spirit came upon him, power came on him for the hour that he was supposed to deliver the message to the world. And everywhere he went, people got healed. Everywhere he went. I mean, even when he went among the non-believers in his hometown, who they thought they knew who he was from a young man, it said he couldn't heal a few because they're unbelief, but it didn't say he didn't heal anybody. He still healed. There was places where he went, everybody got healed. So the more you get this into you, the more it's coming out of you. You know, let's don't put him down anymore. Let's bring him up more. Let's get him in. And the only way to do that is just keep seeking him more. Just like what we shared yesterday, the calling on our life. You know, I didn't look to call me anything else. You know, other people call you enough. You know, so, you know, I just want to be a son of God and a man of God and just do all that God wants us to do and more, you know. But praise the Lord. So I have several little things. And one thing I wanted to do to go over a little bit yesterday, we just did one session yesterday and had different ones that went out with us. And, you know, you just got to start, you know. Acting on faith is just practicing your faith. You know, well, how do you practice your faith? Applying your faith. And that's a part of faith. That's the last part of faith, is where we need to make an application of faith. When you apply what you've been taught, you apply your schooling, your learning, everything you know, everything you hear, you know, it's taken to become a doer of the word. And he said, don't just be a hearer of the word, that you must become a doer of the word. And it was instructions that he gave us to do. But you apply it to your life, and then when you apply it to your life and it works for your life, that's a testimony for you to take it into the world that you could, that someone else could apply it to their life. And that's how it works. You know, and so, you know, there's a lot of things that we'll take through the word and through the teaching of man. And I mean, Brother Hagin even said this, that the Lord came to him one time, and he was one of the greatest teachers in our time. He's in heaven now, but he was one of the greatest teachers, and the knowledge that the man had was amazing. And but he said, you know, that the Lord was dealing with him one time. He said, you're only preaching like 65% truth. He said, what are you talking about? He said, yeah. And I'll make sure I got it right here. So he said, 65% truth. He said it was 30% was tradition of men, and the other 5% was what you believe. That's unbelief. It really is. Because the Word of God is truth. And that's what we need to preach, the Word of God. And so to operate in the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, He is activated through the Word of God, through the gospel. That's what Jesus did. He preached the gospel. And so just a couple of little things that happened yesterday. You know, I know we went in and, you know, we tried to prepare the people for the time we had to go. And, you know, I said, don't be concerned if somebody doesn't want to pray with you. Because they rejected Jesus, so they're not rejecting you. There's still people that's rejecting Jesus today. And so, you know, do that. What we say is what we get a lot of time. I'm just trying to prepare people's heart for what might happen. I don't want you to be discouraged. I'm not doing this anymore. You know, they didn't want to talk about Jesus. Well, that's where you're going, to people that don't want to talk about Jesus. But because who lives on the inside of you, you can change their mindset of who they are to become who he is and who he created them to be. So everything in the kingdom is finished. Done. You know, if we think about our bodies, our healing, everything of our life, you know, we walk in this. We walk in the kingdom. You know, I mean, we have a lot of sickness in the body of Christ. We have a lot of sickness in the world. But you know, there's no sickness in the kingdom. So that's why he said the kingdom is like this. The kingdom is like this. The more we become like the kingdom, the more we'll be able to deliver the kingdom to others to see more how the kingdom operates and works. I might get to my notes today. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 But the Holy Spirit has been given the power, power within us. But anyway, the first two people I talked to, they didn't want to pray. They didn't want to talk. I still shared the love of God. But one thing you have to do is locate. I didn't talk about this the other day. The word locate. Jesus located people just like the lady at the well. So you think about it. You take a natural thing and you turn it into a supernatural experience. You know, we don't do it by the natural. We're going into a natural world that lives a natural way, that lives their way and their way. So a lot of times the way you're going to completely relate with them is natural things. But God's looking to turn that natural thing into a supernatural thing. So it's just locating them. Sometimes if they're sick or limping or whatever, you know, just go up to them, talk to them, be prodded by the Lord. You know, I ask the Lord every day. I said, Lord, I'm up today. I'm glad I made it today. I'm just asking you to use me today. You know, wherever I go today, I don't know where it's going to be or how it's going to be. I just ask you to use me today. I said, Lord, send me to them. And then I'd go sometimes and I'd say, then I didn't really hear anything where I was going or something like that. And so I said, well, how about sending them to me? So that covers everybody. And the first time I asked that prayer, I asked for that Lord to do that. I was riding my motorcycle in Sturgis, South Dakota, and been pulled in and backed up, and I couldn't even get off my bike. And a guy come walking up to me and asking me directions. I gave him some good directions, man, to heaven. He got saved. Amen. Glory to God. But I didn't have to say, Lord, is this the guy? You already asked him. Don't ask him again. I mean, he's going to do whatever you ask if you have a pure heart to want to do his work and his will. If you just want to do this, I mean, he's just looking for somebody that wants to. I mean, he's watching. I said that. You know, he's watching over his word to perform it. He's watching over you. He said, I hasten to perform. Faith comes when? Later? Now. Right now. So you need to see faith is operating now. Don't make no excuses for faith. None. Faith cometh by hearing. Here it comes a lot of different ways. But faith has to go. It has to go, and it goes with you. And the more you get that faith on the inside of you, the more you'll be able to take it everywhere you go. And so with a motorcycle ministry, thank God for the motorcycles and the platforms we've had over the last 20 years and being directors going on 18. We're in our 18th year now. But soon the Lord spoke to us about the hand of God in the very beginning. You know, it was like he said, the first thing he said was the hand of God. I said, okay, what about it? He said, when you stretch forth your hand and they give you their hand, I'll put my hand upon them. And so that's all we did. And we were believing God. You know, Smith Wigglesworth said, he said, only believe. Only believe. You think about it, only believe. Only believe what? God. Nothing else. That only believe. How do you do that? Just believe God. Nothing else. It's simple. Believe the word. Nothing else. Don't believe anything else. That messes up. You believe in God. When you believe something, don't believe what you believe. Believe, only believe. Only believe what? God. And then everything will work fine. Only believe his word because his word is true. Only present his word to people because his word is true. His word always works. And so I believe God has put us in a time of the double. I believe God has put us in a time of a supernatural acceleration. But how do you know? Because we have experienced that. And people are talking about revival. I believe in revival. I believe, you know, the greatest revival is going to come after the rapture. I believe it is. Because people are going to be left behind. You know, they're going to, there's people that's the greatest, I believe one of the greatest revival is. But we shouldn't ask for revival, because revival is bringing something back to life that was once dead. And as far as I know, if Jesus is in your heart, you're alive. Yeah. And you're not dead any longer. So you should be taking what's alive on the inside of you to the world. And the revival is for the lost. It's for the kingdom of heaven. It's for the saved and the light to take it to the world, that they may be, they're dead, and that they may be alive. And the only way they're going to do it through you. Yeah. And it's time that we use every platform. The platform of motorcycles has brought now over 500,000 people to Christ in the last 12 years. If that's not supernatural acceleration, I don't know what is. And I give God all the glory, because Bill didn't do it. We did it. All of the people who joined together who believed would do it. Good Lord Jesus. You know, and there's a lot of ingredients to the kingdom. There's a lot of things in the kingdom that make things work. You know, but you just can't go out and do it because somebody else did. It took years to get to here. You know, why did it take years? You know, because in the beginning, we just went. I didn't know what to do. And we just went. So if he says go, just go. And that's how we learned, through him and by him, by what we did. And he said, whatever you put your hand to, a hand of God. He said, I'll prosper. I'll make it happen. But I found another scripture. Praise the Lord. I didn't stop there. He said, it's my plans for you that will always stand. So if you're following his plan and you're asking him about every plan that you have, and he said you'll always stand, that means you won't fall. Ever. Because his word's true. It's only when we mix our plan with his plan, okay, Lord, bless this. He'll bless it, but you're going to fall. Because it's your plan. But when you turn your plan into his plan, that's why. So I'm glad God uses me. And we talked about that yesterday. God uses it that way, because that's the only way you'll let him use you. He uses me like this. That's because that's the only way you'll let him use you. You let him use you any way and every way. He's put many, many talents on the inside of you. I mean, boy, I didn't know you could play the drums. I mean, many talents. But and that's why he gave talents to men. But the talent he gave for you first was for the body of believers to become somebody, so that we could edify, lift up, and be one with each other. You know, I was reading that this morning. It's a good thing to read the Bible before you preach. It said that on the day when, you know, right before Pentecost comes, said they were in an upper room, and I'd never seen it this way before. That's the way you read the word, so you won't see it another way again. He said that they were in unity and oneness, and that they were in prayer and supplication. Boom. The word supplicate. You ever supplicated? I didn't say suffocate. I said, suffocate. And I said, that just went off in my spirit. Why? Because the Lord wanted me to share it with you this morning. That is a crying out to God for more and deep humility within you so that you can have it amongst each other and let God move the way he wants to move. So this is the unity. I call it the unity of community of believers. There's no more strife. There's no, you know, they couldn't have that to have the Holy Spirit come. He doesn't abide where strife is. He doesn't abide where pride is. He doesn't abide where contention. He doesn't abide where contention is. He abides in the unity and the spirit of supplication, the humbleness that we have for each other. I'm just privileged that God would have me here. I'm privileged that God would speak to me before the service this morning. I'm privileged because I'm just honored to be here. I'm not anybody greater. I just get to be with the greater people. Amen. Glory to God. And, you know, again, you know, thank you guys riding a motorcycle here in your vest on. I knew I should have brought my vest this morning, but I promise you, I have my vest with me. And you've seen a picture of it, so I do have one. And so, but I do have my vest on. And so the reason I do this, because the last 20-some years, it's been motorcycles. And we see people come from all over the world, and it wasn't just outlaw bikers. But if they were outlaw bikers, we'd make them inlaw bikers. You understand? So we just, I said, there was two types of bikers out there as far as we're concerned. You know, there was Christian bikers and those that were going to be. Praise the Lord. So, but anyway, just the Lord put that in us. Because he said, I'll make you fishers of men. So the other gift that he gave to you, he gives many gifts. He's a giver. Lord Jesus, all we had to receive them. That's mine now. So the one gift he put in you is for the body. In many aspects of the body. Many gifts. It depends on how many gifts you want. He'll just keep giving them to you if you're faithful. Faithful. Trust him. So the other gift he gave for you, and this is what, you know, I didn't call myself an evangelist. I just, Lord, put it on my heart to go and start reaching these people. And we started asking him. You know, I said, I messed up I don't know how many times. And I said, okay, what'd I do, Lord? I'd do it two or three times. And he finally gave me the right thing to do. And so he started teaching us basic principles on how to reach people and locate people and things to say to people. How the, it's not like a salesman thing, but I just say a lot of times we'll just think, and I'm not downing anything. I'm just saying we should be always seed-minded, because it says in the Word, you know, that from the beginning to the end there'll be seed time and harvest. But if we're getting near the end, then we should be more harvest-minded. Don't ever forget to sow the seed. But you got to remember all the seeds that have been sown before you ever lived. The people that's gone on to be to heaven right now, they're sitting at the right hand of the Father. I mean, we're seated there in heavenly places. But there's also a great cloud of witnesses cheering us on. And every time somebody gets saved, they're saying, yeah, that's the one I talked to. That's the one I talked to. You brought them in for the harvest. So everywhere you go, there's harvest. You may sow that seed, but somebody else has got a seed. It's time for you to harvest. So it's the best thing for you to do. I'm teaching you now. Is to locate who they are, where they are, and you ask the question. So first, and Ginger reminded me this. You know, we always got to be reminded. Reminded is being renewed. That's why he said renew your mind. And so even we get doing things and want to go the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, and we forget what God had given us. He don't give you something to stop doing it. He gives you something to build to it, build on it. So anyway, you know, I said, what was the first thing the Lord told us when it changed our life? How do you know God told you that? Because of the fruit. Because when told us that, at the end of our outreach, we led 1,000, how we were believing God for 1,000 people, 1,331 people came to the Lord. The next outreach we went to, 3,300 people came to the Lord. That year, you know, I mean, we went from none to one to, you know, just kept going. And I mean, I remember one year it was only 142 people came to the Lord. And then that year we led 5,000 people to the Lord. Next year, 10,000 people. Next year, 30,000 people. But next year, 50,000 people. And now over 500,000 people have come on. Glory to God. Yes. You know, I used to say, I'd read about evangelists and I'd see you in their ministry where they led 150,000 people to the Lord, 200. I said, oh, I would love to be a part of something. Not who I am. I just love to be a part of that. But now a corporate anointing is the corporate anointing that's on the body of Christ. And I'm going to tell you, the next gift he gave to you through the evangelist is doing the work of an evangelist. You know, the fivefold ministry, the prophet, apostle, teacher, pastor, evangelist, it's the only one that he said they were all equipped for one purpose, to do the work of an evangelist. And that's every day of your life You're not left out of this. You know, you get to be a keeper. You know, you are a keeper too, brother. You are. You're a keeper of the body. You're one that watches over the body that God's put you over charge of. But it's also, none of us are excluded from this. He said, we're all built to this so that we can all do the work of an evangelist. So that we can go out and, you know, give him to this lost and hurting world. And then we brought that sign in this morning. The world's added, the church is added to daily. This is what happened when the Holy Spirit came on them. The number one purpose, wasn't the only purpose, but the number one purpose that the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes on your life is to win people to Christ. It's changing you from who you are to who he is so that you'll be evidence of who he is to the lost and hurt and dying world. And so now, I mean, I go to, we've been doing it so long. I said, just practice your faith. Keep going. God will keep showing you. And for you to shine, you know, where does light work the most? In darkness. You know? So we'll go to dark places. And we'll get 3/4 of the people in dark place. What's a dark place? It's some, well, I call it the Sodom and Gomorrah experience. Or, you know, where there's all type of stuff going on. Everything that you hear about is going on in the world today. But say we would go to Sturgis, you know. I mean, and I'll just tell you, you know, I mean, we were focused. We had our eyes fixed on God. We were there for one purpose. But there would be women walking around with painted bodies without anything else on. You know, that didn't bother us. They'd just been deceived. We came there to relieve. We came there to share the gospel with them, get them saved, to change their life. And that was the only reason we went. I said, if you go for any other reason, you're joining them. We're coming there to help them. You know, but that's where I feel like our light shines the most, is in those dark places, because we've been going so long. And if you go to a light place, what's a light place? That's where there's some light, and there's light, and it may be a place where there's vacation. So we go to a light place, there'd be 1/4 of the people that we talk to get saved. Don't take anything for granted. So if you go to a dark place, 3/4 of the people got saved. But there has to be somebody that's going to tell them. There's going to have to be somebody that's going to love them. There's going to have to be somebody. Well, that's not me. No, it is you. You just hadn't found it out yet. You just haven't done it yet. And you just got to start. And that's what we did. I mean, I remember in the beginning in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, we put up a little tent there. We didn't know what to do. We didn't. I didn't know what to do, but I had a tent. And it looked good. And I had all these signs up there, you know, Church of Light, Christian Bikers. It looked good. I was in a secular event. I wasn't in a Christian event. And they were staying away by the thousands. They were. And one morning they had a preacher there giving instructions. I don't know what his name was, Bill or something. Had bald head. And he went a little long. And we got there at a tent late that morning. Man, we get going the Holy Ghost. We just don't want to stop. And we got there. So I forgot to put my signs up. We had more people that day than any other time because they didn't see the sign. And I said, well, how about this, Lord? He said, don't put them up. He said, you don't have to have the sign to shine. And so, man, we were out there. And this is in the beginning. I said, Lord, nobody's coming by. What are we doing? And this was before he gave his hand to God. And we did all kinds of things. We was trying to give things away, water. We got to give them living water, you know, and different things. And I said, there's nothing wrong with that. If you're preaching the gospel and going out there, then you're doing it right. But you still have to learn and grow and do what he wants to do. So they was just walking by, and I said, all these fish out here, you know, I don't know what to do. Jesus said he'd make you fishers of men. Now, this was back in the beginning. Now, I don't do this anymore. But I didn't know what else to do. So I was suffocating. I was crying out to God, but everybody else heard me. I said, hey, I said, does anybody here need prayer? I said, I need some practice. And all of a sudden, this guy just broke down, and he just started laughing. He was a biker guy, and he come over there, and he just started laughing. And he said, yeah, I could use some. But see, the Holy Ghost, he'll do anything to get people to save, as long as it's righteous. Amen. So he ended up getting him saved. Man, it was on after that. But still, we just kept on and on and on and on. So you got to go, you got to go, you got to keep going. But he told me that it's time now to use every platform to reach every person. You don't have to be a biker. It'd be good if you would, because you'll have a lot of fun on a motorcycle. And I'm, you know, we're witness for it, you know. It's a wonderful time. But whether it's that, you know, not everybody does. But you do like something, hopefully. If you like Jesus enough, you'll do what he said and go into the world and tell people how much he loves them and what he's done for them. And that's what Jesus told us to do. That was the last thing he told us to do before we went to heaven. But we're so fully equipped. We're so fully equipped. We're more well equipped than any army on the earth. And, you know, you think about the people in the earth. We're the giant that just needs to get up and go that the world is afraid of. That's why they don't want you to talk about Jesus. But they don't tell me what to do. My Father tells me what to do. And he tells me how to do what he said I would. So the power within you is the power that can change the world, can change the universe. All you have to do is give it all and then go out and give all you got. Amen. So the Holy Spirit didn't come for just marvels and wonders. He came to live in us and strengthen us in everything for us. Physically, emotionally, spiritually. He brought a boldness of love for the people in all the world. He transformed the weakest person into a powerhouse for the kingdom. He came upon us to consume us for one reason, Acts 1:8, that you would be a witness unto Jesus. First, Jesus was Savior. This was the first work that took him into to the cross. It is our number one purpose to seek and save the lost. So that second gift is for every one of us to do the work, to go out and share this love. And it may be this, you know, it may be just say, do you know, your waitress or wherever you are, just whatever they're going through. Just, hey, how you doing today? What's your name? I just want to let you know how much God loves you today. That's the first thing. You have to find out God loves you. And then a lot of people don't even know God loves them. I say, do you know that? And some of them just break down and start crying over those words. And it opens up the door for you to go to the next place for them to go. But usually somewhere in my conversation, it's not always the first thing, but I will make sure that I ask them if they know, if for sure. That's a key word. I didn't get to go over that. For sure is a key word. Do you know for sure if something were to happen to you today, that if you were to leave the earth, we don't know when that's going to be. We don't. Do you know if for sure if you were going to leave this earth today or any other time, do you know for sure without a doubt you'd go to heaven? And like I said, you never take anything for granted. And if they say no, then you tell them how to do it. You tell them what the Word of God says. You know, and we have little things. If you don't know what to tell them, we have little things that you can tell them. God loved them so much that he sent his Son. He died for us. But it wasn't so much he died for us. It's that he still lives for us. And he is the only one that died and still lives. And he gave us eternal life, and you don't have to work for it. You don't have to do anything for it except to call on his name, and that he made it so easy. He completed everything. It's not about works. It's about the work that he did for you and what you get to do now. And all you have to do is call on the name of the Lord, and you will, shall be saved. That's what starts it right there. That's what starts it. And so if they don't know that, you know, then it's up to our job to let them know. It said to compel them. So you have to tell them. That's the number one method that God gave is speaking, preaching. He said he went about teaching, preaching, and healing. But the number one method that he gave was to speak. When God speaks in Genesis 1, I think something happened. When he spoke, something happened. So when we speak God's word, something is going to happen. Glory to God. Glory to God. First, Jesus was Savior. That was the first work that took him to the cross. It is our number one purpose to seek and save the lost. I know. Believe me, I know. We're supposed to disciple people. But how are you going to disciple people who are lost? You have to disciple people that you go out and get saved every day and get them on the way. Get them in the Word. The Word is the way. I want to encourage you. In these last days, I heard Rick Renner say this the other day. He said, to know that you're into the age before Jesus returns, he said that the spirit of deception is going to run rampant in the world. You know, what's going on in the world, that's the way that you're going to know right before, because of spirit of deception. But it's also going to be, what's deception for? The people in the world are already deceived. So it's going to be for the church. And he said it's going to be for the people who are turning from the Word of God to a new spirit. They're looking for something new, and they're turning away from the things that God has done. They're looking for a new way of God, and there's only one way of God. His Spirit operates through His Word. So you don't separate the Spirit of God. There's a lot of spirits, but there's only one Holy Spirit. There's only one Holy Spirit. Say that with me. There's only one Holy Spirit. You know, you might want to direct that in your conversation. Call Him what He is. He's holy. Don't open up your life to any type of other spirit, because there's deceiving spirits out there that are trying to deceive the body and separate the body, but God's trying to bring the body back together. And there will be a great falling away, but I've never looked at that, because the Word of God said there'll be a great coming together. So you have to do what He said. Don't be concerned with these other things the enemy's saying. You take authority over him with the Word that you've been given. That's why the Word of God is so important for you. This is where faith comes, not just by hearing, but by reading and other things. So anyway, let me get on with this. Salvation is the greatest work and the greatest marvel God took on for us. All greater works. We're talking about the greater today, Lord Jesus. We didn't talk about this, did we, beforehand? Said all greater works has to line up with the greatest works of all. Salvation for the lost. And you know, when you heard this person say it, probably another person said it, and then another person said it. But God said it to somebody, praise the Lord. That your church that doesn't seek the lost has lost itself. It's lost its motive. It's lost its purpose. Because our number one purpose for the church is to seek and save the lost at any cost. Look what God did for us. Isn't it awesome? You got Jesus in your heart? Amen. It's a good thing. This may be serious, but what really serious is here, I'm having fun. But what's really serious out here is what's going on with this world. And the only way this world is going to be changed is through you and you and you and you. And we're looking for one, and the one has already come. And the greater things is because the one lives in every one of us. Amen. To go out and do the greater things for him. Amen. Everyone. Amen. Reaching one. Just every day. So, praise the Lord. That's one of my favorite words, by the way. And if it's really good, I go, Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit is the power within us who enables us to save the lost, praise the Lord. He is the one who interprets the Word for us. It is the words that Jesus, about Jesus, that propels. Don't let anybody talk you out of talking about Jesus. They want to talk about God. There's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus. So you make sure you get the name of Jesus out, and you love people with the name of Jesus. You know, there's no condemnation in Christ, so there's no condemnation in you, so you never share the Word of God through condemnation, because you don't have it. It's not a part of who you are. You share the love of God with the Word of God, and I believe that supernatural acceleration, yes, we are seed sowers. Every day. Every day you sow a seed, but every day you harvest, because there's people that's already sowed seeds. But I believe in the Word says that in the last days that in the last harvest, when the supernatural acceleration comes, and it's come here, and the Lord showed us how it works, is the water of the Word is the love of God. And so you can have supernatural increase, because it does say in the last days that the sower will overtake the reaper. Is that not correct? So you can sow and reap at the same time. That's supernatural. Everything about God's Word is supernatural. Everything brings acceleration. Everything brings increase. Everything, every time. So you do sow seeds, but how about you don't know the seeds that have been sown in that person's life? So that's why it's important to locate. Do you know for sure? And then they tell you, yeah, well, I know for sure. Well, let me ask you another question. I like to ask questions. How do you know for sure? Well, I believe in trees. Oh, really? Praise the Lord. Me too. I got some in my yard. But let me tell you what the Word of God says. Let me share the Word of God, because the Word of God is going to penetrate your heart. Because Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be. Whose word? His word. That comes forth out of whose mouth? His mouth, because you're his voice. That it shall not return void, that there's life in his word. Every word of God brings life. Every word of God delivers. Every word of God sets free. You're talking about sowing different places, the hard, the briars, and all that stuff on the path. You know, Sometimes that word, just think of the maximum every time you sow the word. Don't make an excuse for the word at any time. Well, you know, if you think it's not going to happen now, then it might not happen now. If you say it might not happen now, but Word of God says faith is. Does anywhere else in there it say it comes later? Does it? I mean, you might know more than me. If I haven't read that verse, I'm just trying to get you to believe what it says. And the more you believe it, the more you receive it, the more you can give it, and the more God will manifest His presence. Now, you get the mindset. You get that. And that's when he told me that it's time. We was in South Africa in October, and they come out that morning riding a motorcycle. Praise the Lord. And they said, Bill, is there anything you have this morning? And I said, I've always got something. You should always have something to give. If you spend time with God, you should always be ready to give something. But he did. And it was just a little bit. Sometimes you get a little bit, you can get a lot. But he said, it's time for us to be manifest-minded. Manifest-minded. It's time. And boy, I have took that word, and I did everything we do. Manifest. Show yourself. That's what he wants to do. That's what he's always wanted to do. So we've allowed things, and things to suppress us, you know, to give excuses for the word of God. Faith is, come on, it's now. Amen. Cheer me on here. Help me out a little bit. Amen. Come on, it's now. Amen. It's now. Cheer him on. That's what he said. So the more you believe this, the more you can present this to other people. And these are all these miracles that's happened along the way. That's because we were just believing now. We wanted more. We wanted more. We wanted more. And I shared that yesterday, too, the thing that we, Ginger said, do you know what you're called to do? I think, well, after all these years, I ought to know something. But I said, well, I think, you know, to help bring people to Christ and help other people do the same. And she said, our number one calling for all of us is to know him more. More. That's how you get more. In his word, by his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I'm going to... Okay. Whenever you find faith and the Word, you will find the Holy Spirit. He's the one who brings action to faith. And this is the last part of faith, is application, action. These are things that nobody can ever take from you. Nobody can talk you out of. It's not just what you heard, it's what you've seen. You've seen faith in action because of your application. He's the one that brings the action to faith and the word. As we know, his word produces faith. And again, if you didn't hear this, if you wasn't here yesterday, simple thing for me, I like it simple because he didn't make it hard. Faith is the word of God. Period. So if you need more faith, increase your word. If you have a little faith, you have a little word. Need more word. Can't have enough more word. Amen. So, I believe it's a submersion every day. It wasn't a one-time baptism. You have to submerge yourself in his word and in his spirit. Jesus, dip me again. All of me. A baptism is a complete submersion. They didn't leave your head out. They dunked your head and all. You got it all. Completely. Every day. Don't walk away from your baptism. You got to have that every day of your life. Every day. I want more today. I want more of that baptism. I want people to see that evidence. You know, when you walk in that room, they feel the presence of God. Being baptized again every day. You know, yeah, have your own baptism when you just jump in it every morning. Praise the Lord. It's not water. It's the inside witness that he placed on inside of us. Amen. That's just an outward sign. But if you got it on the inside, it should be an outward sign. Being baptized is a sign of bringing new life. Being baptized in the Spirit is a sign of bringing new life. So that should tell you that the Holy Spirit's number one job was to bring new life into the kingdom. He baptized us for that reason. That's the inward witness that makes it an outward sign. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's not be selfish with this. Let's take it on ourselves and take it to them. Amen. I believe it's a submersion every day. It's evidence. When you go out, He's working through you and coming out of you. And I shared this the other day that, you know, Dr. Savelle's been talking about the maximum, the highest level attainable. You know, and I thought, Lord Jesus, where are we going after that? The highest level attainable. And He said, overflow. My goodness. If it's the maximum, if we can't get no higher, then it's got to keep coming. If we're wanting more, then it's got to come. It keep flowing. It's got to keep going. It's got to keep rolling. Lord Jesus, just get the maximum. You'll have the overflow. True baptism in the Holy Spirit is where His signs bring continual life. When Jesus ascended into heaven, He promised He would send one, the one who was just like Him, to live and abide in us and with us. From that time until now, heaven's doors have been wide open. We are fully equipped to lead others through those doors. They're wide open. Hallelujah. Revelation 3:8, Amplified says, I know your record of works and what you are doing. He knows what we're doing. It's good. Yes. We're winning people to Christ. We're going to win more people to Christ. Yes. That's what we're doing. And it doesn't matter if you're not in the field. He said the people that came in the field on the last day that hadn't been working will have the same pay, Lord Jesus. So just get in the field. He said, I know in the recording of what you're doing. See, I have set before you a door wide open which no man can shut. Hallelujah. Jesus opened the doors to heaven. They're wide open for us. We aren't trying to get in any longer. Our airline boarding pass is prepaid with a first class seat. We have a seat in heaven with Jesus at the right hand of God, our Father. And we aren't powerless. We have all the power we need here. So I want to change to another direction that the Lord had me go this morning. And we're just going to flow with it, okay? Because you can't please God without faith. And we've been talking about faith and how you get faith and through the Word. And that's the only real faith. And He said, Smith Wigglesworth said, only believe the Word of God and nothing else. And that's where you'll obtain your faith. But if you don't have faith, you can't take it to the world. If you're mixing your faith in another place of this world, you'll never be able to take it to the world with a God kind of faith. God kind of faith always comes from His Word. So I'm going to go a little bit here with faith. So it's all about faith. If you can't please Him without it, then we need it, a lot of it, a lot of pleasing. So you're going to need faith in heaven, not just here. So Romans 10:8 said, but what does it say? The Word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith that we preach. Never get away from the word of faith. Don't listen to these other words. I had a guy, a longtime minister, called me the other day. He said, what is this about Jesus? I mean, this guy was raised, his daddy was a preacher. He was raised as a preacher. And he said, I don't think it's, he said, it's just about, it should just be about God now. He said, all this stuff about Jesus, why is everybody preaching Jesus all day? He said, it's just about getting to God. I said, there's only way to God, son. And that's through Jesus. I said, you need to go back and read the Word. That's just what I told him. Don't let these spirits deceive you. Talked to a guy yesterday. He said, well, we believe in the one Creator. I said, yeah, me too. The one that created all things. But there's only way. Yeah, we believe there's many ways to Him because of all these other. I said, well, you know, you can believe that, but there's, according to the Word of God, there's only one way to Him, and that's the one that died for us, who lives right now, and His name is Jesus, because He said He was an advocate, and He was the way to the Father. And so he didn't receive Jesus, but I told him how to get to Jesus. I said, all you got to do is call on the name of the Lord, and His name is Jesus. And His name is Jesus. It, you know, if the Lord, if this had been hard, He wouldn't have called me to do this. What are y'all laughing about? It's true. Because I don't like it being hard. He didn't make it hard on us. We made it hard on ourselves. So he said,
If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In the passage translation, I'll back up a little bit on that. He said, but the faith righteousness we receive speaks to us. It speaks to us. In these words of Moses, God's living message is very close to you, as close as your own heart beating in your chest, and as near as the tongue in your mouth. That's why we got to speak. What's in your heart should be coming out of your mouth, and it probably is. Out of the abundance of the heart. So what's in the abundance of the heart? Jesus! Is that right, Cameron? You got it. For if you publicly declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will experience salvation. The heart that believes in him receives the gift of righteousness of God, and then the mouth confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scriptures encourage with these words. Everyone who believes in him will never be disappointed. Then faith eliminates the distinction between the Jew and the non-Jew, and has enough treasures to lavish generally upon all who call on his name. And it's true for everyone. So I'm going to ask you this today. Well, I'll give you this scripture before I do, because the word works. Acts 2:21, the passage translation, but everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So what do you got to do to receive Jesus? Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Everything comes after that. Amen? Amen? Amen. So I'm going to ask you today. You answer this yourself. Where you are and where you want to go. Where is your faith today? Where is your word? Where is his words in your life today? Is it great? Is it weak? Is it in what we speak? Is it in what we doubt? Is it in what we shout? Is it speaking what we're all about? Or what Jesus did when he came out. Does your faith rely in someone else? Or is your faith in yourself? Is it full? Do you need more? Do you have enough? Do you feel like it's going to burst? Do you have faith to conquer the world? Or do you have faith in the world? Or has our circumstances caused our faith to drain? Real God faith does this. It gives complete trust in everything that you are and everything you do to God. The Word of God is faith, and it comes in many ways. And we think about just hearing. But it comes in many ways. It comes by hearing. It comes by receiving. It comes by speaking. It comes by seeing. You see what God does, and that creates great faith. That creates, to me, it's not be seeing what the world sees, it's seeing what God's done, and that creates an unmovable faith. So faith does come by seeing. It even comes by reading, which is the number one faith comes if you're reading your Bible every day. But one of the greatest is believing, and the greatest one of all is action, is the application of your faith. It's the great, after all of these, action and application is the greatest. So you will speak and do what you believe. Romans 10:16, but not everyone welcomes the goodness. As Isaiah said, Lord, is there anyone here who believes our message? Verse 17 said, faith is birth in a heart that responds to God's anointed utterance of the Holy One. He lives in you. If you want more faith, then spend more time in God's Word. It's where we apply our time to renew our minds. How many of you could use more faith? Amen. Me too. We just want more word, right? Amen. So, what is simple? Then the application of our faith should be at working every day of our life, somewhere in our life. I mean, I don't care what you do. Do it for the glory of God. Wherever you are. Well, if I could just get out of here. You know, I'm called to be a preacher. Well, you preach there, God will get you out of there. Yes. You reach there, God will get you out of there. Keep that joy in your heart no matter where you are. If you don't like it, start loving it. Use it for the glory of God. God lives on the inside of you to change those people who are lost in that place. They could be everybody there against you, but you might be the only one there that's for them. You'll be there the one that changes them. So don't waver because of what they're doing. Hallelujah. We get to create waves because of what he did. Hallelujah. I'm moving on here. Okay. Again, I believe that the love of God is the water of the word that will cause supernatural increase and cause people to be saved today. I want you to say this with me. Say, I'm a God pleaser. I choose to forgive and I choose to love. I have the faith that pleases God. Now, you can't just love. Thank you for that. You can't just love. You have to forgive. We talked about that yesterday. Sometimes our faith, our love isn't operating because our forgiveness isn't manifesting. And you manifest your forgiveness by asking forgiveness, maybe to somebody that you need to. Because sometimes your faith is not going to work because if there's unforgiveness in your heart, you can't love properly. You can't have the love of God in your heart to minister the way he wants you to really minister and have the power if there's unforgiveness in your heart. So all these are key elements to having the manifestations on a more consistent basis. Choose to forgive before anything happens. Really. These are powerful, powerful things. I'm applying this to my life. I mean, I know over the last few years, especially with COVID and family and people, I mean, unless you got a family like them, I mean, you know, they just get along so good with everything, never argue about nothing, right? You know, oh, that's not right. But anyway, you're people. We're different. But we choose to forgive first, that way we can love forever. So it's a major component of who God is. For God so loved the world, he forgave. And then he gave. So if you forgive and love, then you can give Jesus to everybody. And you can see the power from on high. Glory to God. So application of faith is putting someone into operation. Practice, this is what the word application means. Practice, function, utilize, putting into use. Putting something into use. Application is needed to start a new job. You fill out an application to start a new job. But Jesus said he's already hired you and he wants to fire you up, not fire you, so that you can go into all the world for the harvest and do that new job that he's called you to do. So if you don't know what you've been called to do, if you've been asking what you've been called to do, this is the number one job he has for you. You apply your faith to winning people to Christ. And I'm about to wrap it up here, just for the time being. John 4:34-38, and this is a passage translation. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to bring it into completion. See, he did a finished work, completed work. He had a work to complete. But he also told us to go into the world because there was more people that needed to know about him because we had a work to complete. So Paul said, I ran my race. I did it all. He completed his race. This is how we complete our race. How many people we can get in the kingdom. Look at all the people. This is what. Let me back up a little bit. All right, I'm going to just start over. From the very beginning? No. My food is to do the will of the one who sent me to bring it to completion. As the crowds emerged from the village, and then you're talking about where you go. I opened up the window this morning and I seen choo, 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 cars. They're everywhere. People's everywhere. Everywhere. That's what Jesus said. Look. Look. Look all around you. This harvest is here. It's here. He said, the crowds emerged from the village. Jesus said to his disciples, why would you say The harvest is later. That's my terminology. Why would you say it's another 4 months away? Look at all these people coming now. It's harvest time. Their hearts are like vast fields of ripened grain. Their hearts are ready. And you know, I think I told you that 95% of Christians have never shared with their faith with the lost. And 5% that have. And I don't think I shared this with you. If I did, I'm sharing it with you if you didn't hear it the first time. But that 70% of those people are willing for you to tell them. 70%. What are we waiting on? Everyone who reaps these souls for eternal life will receive a reward. Both those who plant spiritual seeds and those who reap the spiritual harvest will celebrate together with great joy. And this confirms the saying, one sows the seed, one reaps the harvest. I have sent you out to a harvest field that you have not planted, where many others have labored long and hard before you. And now you are privileged to profit from their labors and reap the harvest. I have one little more testimony to prove this scripture is true in my life, in our life. We was in Daytona, Florida, and we were believing for 500 people to come to Christ for the very first time. And God honored what we were believing for. We led 552 people to Christ for the very first time. And that was the most, you know, I think 242 was the most before that. And then after that, we went to Sturgis that year when he spoke the hand of God and 1,000, and this supernatural increase came. But what I didn't know was that I sit down, and for a biker not to eat, you know, something's wrong. We sat down after the outreach, and I was just crying. Because God had honored what we asked him to do. And 552 people came to the Lord. And the pastor come up to me there, and he said, do you know, Bill, where you had your little tent set up over there? And we were a vendor there, you know. He said, do you know who was there years ago? The scripture. He said, Oral Roberts had his big tent set up there years ago. And boy, I just started weeping more and crying more, thanking God for all these wonderful people that came before us to make it easy for us everywhere we go. Hallelujah. Who's the next great voice? Right here. Right here. Right here. Right here. Right here. All of you. All of you are his voice. All of you have that heart's cry to want to fulfill everything. And this is his cry, that they may know him, and you're the only way they're going to know him. Hallelujah. I believe I've done what he told me to do today, and his word went forth, and I believe there's an impartation that he will leave here, that your life will never be changed. Never be the same. Your ministries will never be the same. I thank you guys for coming. I thank you all for coming, but God is putting a new purpose in every one of our lives today for this harvest. Amen. And we're going to do this. All of us together. All of us together. And so we've taught, we've preached today. Have you received today? Yeah. Well, there's one other thing that Jesus did, and that's what he really loved to do. The third thing he did. Because this is so many ways that he sent for it to do, and he did it everywhere he went. He healed the sick. So if there's any sickness and disease in anybody's body today, I believe God's going to heal you and set you free from it today. And if there's anybody else that you're believing God for today, for to be healed, you can stand in for them today, and he'll heal them today. Because he did that in his word. He said he sent his word through one that believed because of their faith. And they received, and they were healed in Jesus' name. So I just want to ask you, Ginger, I want you to come up here. And pastors, if y'all want to come here. And I'm just going to I'm not going to come down there. I'm just going to stand here. God's going to do His thing. Is there anybody here that needs healing in their bodies? Anybody here that needs sickness and disease delivered from their body? It's not a part of your kingdom. It's not a part of His kingdom. Is there anybody here that knows someone else, that you could stand in for somebody else, that God's Word will perform His Word today in Jesus' name? Just come up here. Just come up here. Just come up here. Just stand right here in the front. Just stand right here in the front. Come on up right here on the carpet. Stand up here in the front. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Glory. God always is wanting to confirm His Word. Always. And I know He put that on my heart this morning. And when God puts something on your heart, then you just need to do it so He can do it. Amen? Amen. So we're believers. And we're going to lay hands on you. And God's going to heal you. He doesn't want to do it through just one. He wants to do it through everyone. So Father, I just thank you right now. Y'all just go ahead and lay hands on them. And Father, I just thank you right now in the name of Jesus, what your word says. And we thank you, Lord, for your healing power. We thank you, Father, for your healing power. Thank you, Lord, for your healing power. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your healing power. Thank you, Jesus. Healed in the name of Jesus. Total healing. Total health. Thank you, Father. In the name. In the name. In the name of Jesus. All sickness, all disease has to flee. All sickness, all disease has to flee. Total healing. Thank you, Lord. Be whole. Be whole. Be whole. Be whole. Hallelujah. In the name. In the name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Her. Huh? Okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. I just speak health over your life and every part of your life. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? He loves you. He loves you. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory, God. Yeah, just, He touched you. He healed you. He filled you. You're whole. In the name of, just receive. Just receive. Just receive. And believe. Be thankful. Hallelujah. Grateful. You receive. You receive. Do you believe? You want it right now? It's yours. It's all yours. That's our God. He's a now God. Believe. I believe. You believe. We both receive. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes, yes. Well, that's a part of what He does. Anybody that's online, you need a healing in your bodies, just stretch your hands toward the screen, and God is healing you now in Jesus' name, because He's the healer. He's the revealer. And if there's anybody out there, the greatest miracle of all is what He did for us all, that He saved us all. And so I don't want to miss this opportunity. If you don't know Jesus, if you don't know for sure, without a doubt in your heart, that if you died today, that you would go to heaven, then I just want you to say this prayer with me today. I want you to say this with me. And I tell you what, it's not going to hurt even a believer to say it, just to reaffirm it. If you're on there and you don't know Jesus or you're not sure, He wants you to be sure. And He's going to touch you. You're going to feel Him come into your life. And it's just the start of what He's getting ready to do for your life. The start. So say this with me today. Say, Jesus, come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for choosing me. And now, I know you can use me. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, if you said that prayer today, then if here at the church, if you didn't know the Lord, I ask you to meet some of the leadership here, and they'll help you go on to your next step in your walking out your salvation. You're saved now, but you walk out the greater things in your life. Amen. And if you're online, I know you may not be able to come for different reasons, but if God healed you, then come on back. If He saved you, then come on back. There's no fear. They need you here in Jesus' name. And this place is going to grow like you've never seen before. Because the great Holy Spirit of the Southland are in these people. And it's going to change this community in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you. Can we please give a hand to Bill and Ginger? Can we give a clap to Bill and Ginger Fair?
Thank you so much.
Amen. What an amazing time. Who's glad they came to church this morning? Thank you, Jesus. And like we said, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, or even if you just felt in your heart that you just took a step forward in your relationship with Jesus today, we would love to give a gift to you. We've got the Book of Mark and some steps to help you in what you can do next in helping that relationship with Jesus flourish and taking that next step in Him and what God's got for Him and the great future that He has for you. So we'd love to come and meet with you. Come and meet with Pastor at any point from now until after the service here or online. If you made that step for the first time, please just go to our website, breakthrough.org.au, and there are steps right there to say I've become a follower of Jesus and the different steps that you can take and how we can help you in that journey today.